What's good? Welcome to the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for joining me for the second episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, and on Stitcher. Also, please be sure to subscribe to my newsletter for the Calcio Corner on Substack. The link is in my Twitter bio, which is at Italiano Calcio. It is currently free to subscribe to the Substack newsletter. Anytime I post anything on there, it gets sent directly to your email, so you get notified right away as soon as you get it, especially if you have that alert set up on your cell phone. You can also follow the Twitter account for the podcast. It is at the Calcio Corner. Feel free to tweet in questions to either that account, the Calcio Corner, or at Italiano Calcio, my personal Twitter account. We will certainly address some of those on upcoming episodes. So I initially, when I was writing my notes for this podcast, was going to give my just some quick overall thoughts to the season, but then this like absolute bomb out of Italy dropped that I'll delve into a little now, and as the story continues to develop, we will certainly address it on future episodes of this podcast. But Antonio Conte had some comments that he made after Inter's game against Atalanta yesterday, and the comments fully supported his players. He said his players did a great job, his coaches did a great job with this season, and the madness that all the season brought with it due to COVID-19 and whatnot. But he took a couple shots at Inter's management, Inter's ownership group, saying that, you know, more or less that maybe perhaps the visions weren't aligned with what Conte wants to do and the ambition to win. And he was kind of hinting at the fact that he knows what it takes to win, having done it at Juve and whatnot. How he knows what it takes to win, obviously, in Serie A to build. Obviously, he laid the foundation and built the early part of that dynasty that Juventus is still reaping the benefits of. So he kind of took some shots at the management group, and there's been reports today, again, right about broke just a matter of hour or so ago before I'm recording this podcast, that, you know, there's some tension and friction, obviously, as you could imagine, between Antonio Conte and the Inter ownership group after those comments. He said that he felt that, again, the ownership group didn't support him, didn't support his players through this tough times. Maybe when the media took some unfair shots at he and his players, that the ownership didn't kind of step up and defend them. There was a whole lot about that. And again, there's some reports about the tension between the two sides and that perhaps Conte, after just one season, could be out as Inter's boss. Inter, as I'm going to talk about in a little bit, had one of their best seasons in over a decade. And just an absolute bomb, and what a way to close out the Serie A season. Obviously, today, as I'm recording this on Sunday evening, is the final day of the season. Absolutely madness. I think Conte, I read, had 2 years left on his contract, maybe 13 million euro a season. So it doesn't sound like Inter's ownership group would like to fire him because they would have to be on the hook to pay him that money. They would rather see Conte obviously step down if that's the case, if the relationship can't be repaired. And ironically enough, the top coach that is being linked to replace him, if there is a separation between Inter and Conte, would be Max Allegri, who, ironically enough, as you know, was the man who replaced him at Juventus. I don't know what will happen. This wouldn't be the first time, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, I should say, if I saw Antonio Conte step down. I think for the good of the club, you should repair this relationship, because I think Conte is the right man for this job to get Inter back on top and get Inter winning titles. He obviously had them very close this season. So, you know, personally, I would love to see this relationship patched up. But who knows? It seems wherever Conte goes, so does drama. And he doesn't like to make anything easy on himself. So just the latest story, like I said, in his career of kind of dealing with these situations and putting himself in these positions. But again, as that story continues to develop, we'll certainly delve into it on future episodes. But as I initially planned on starting this podcast, I wanted to just share some of my overall thoughts about this season. And again, what a crazy season it was. Honestly, it's something that I hope we never experience again. Obviously, no one ever wants to go through a pandemic again. But it threw this season in a loophole, but they were able to finish it, which is most important. And as far as we all know, every player, staff members, anyone who involved with the TV production, the journalistic side of things, no one became ill throughout finishing the season. So that's obviously a positive. We obviously know Juventus won the Scudetto again. And, you know, I feel like unless you are a Juve fan, obviously you're kind of tired of seeing them win, but you can't take anything away from them. They've won 9 in a row, which is absolute domination. And I live here in the United States, and the thought of a team in, like, say, the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, NHL, whatever, winning 9 consecutive years, it's just unheard of. So got to give you kudos to Juventus. They deserve this title. As I talked about in the last podcast, was it their most dominant performance this season? No, they won the league with only 83 points, which, again, like, kind of when I say that out loud, it's kind of a bit shocking. The last team that won the Scudetto with less than even 90 points was Juventus back in the 2014-2015 season. So they've done it once already since they're during this 9-year run. But it just seems so crazy to think that, you know, Juve won the Scudetto with only 83 points. We obviously did see some challengers emerge this season. Inter, who I just mentioned with Conte, he did a great job with this team. They ended up finishing just 1 point behind Juventus. Lazio really bounced back this season, and they challenged Juve for the Scudetto throughout this year. Atalanta as well, they didn't take any step back from their great season last year. So obviously, if these three teams continue to grow and improve, and you kind of expect Napoli to bounce back, and we start to see more of the Napoli that we saw once Gattuso took over for Ancelotti during the season, Milan definitely looked like they could be turning a corner based on the way they closed out this season. So, you know, next season could certainly pose a much more exciting title race. I mean, we had an exciting one for most of this season, but perhaps next season could be that much better if, again, Inter, Lazio, Atalanta all remain competitive, and we see Napoli bounce back, we see Milan get in the race, who knows, even Roma, the way they close out this season. You know, I don't know how Inter fans feel about this season. I mean, take this Conte bombshell out of it. They did end up finishing only 1 point behind Juve. Again, Juve won the title with a few games to spare and ended up losing their final two games, but, you know, certainly Inter should be happy about the improvements this team underwent this season. Again, they did only finish 1 point behind Juve, so they should be proud of that. They ended up beating Atalanta yesterday, Saturday, to finish second place and keep Atalanta in third. So certainly a good finish for Inter, in my opinion. I was happy to see Maurizio Sarri finally win a major title in Italy, something he's been after for a while, something he came close to with his few great runs he had with Napoli. But, of course, they weren't able to lift the trophy together. But now he finally gets that title with Juventus, which obviously means a lot to him. We did see Carlo Ancelotti get fired this season at Napoli, which, I mean, coming into this season, if you told me that Napoli would end up firing Ancelotti, I would have never predicted that in a million years. And I'll admit it, when De Laurentiis first announced that Gennaro Gattuso would take over as coach, I certainly was a bit skeptical about that. But he did a great job this season, really turned them around and gave a lot of optimism heading into next season. They, of course, won Coppa Italia together, defeating Juventus in the final. So that is, you know, something for Napoli to hold on to this season. Let's not forget throughout the season, remember Cagliari? Early on, they were a top five team and looking really good. People talking about them maybe competing for a spot in Europe. I was jumping on the bandwagon with how great Cagliari looked early on. It kind of looked like they were going to be this year's version of what Atalanta did last year, that team that kind of came out of nowhere and surprised everyone. And they didn't, and ironically enough, Atalanta were this year's version of themselves from last year. They kind of were the team that replicated what they did last year and surprised everybody again. But yeah, the bottom just fell out on Cagliari. They ended up finishing in the bottom half of the table, which, again, if you saw the way they started the season, again, top five early on, they were looking really good and they were a competitive side, but for whatever reason, the bottom just fell out. Milan and Roma, they close out this season on absolute fire. Milan did not lose any games since the restart of Serie A, which meant that they went unbeaten over those last 12 games of the season. Roma, they went unbeaten over their last 8 games and won 7 of those. So a really good run by the Giallorossi to close out the season. So again, Milan, Roma, giving their big fan bases a lot of reason to be optimistic heading into next season. So overall, we have Juve, Inter, Atalanta, Lazio. They all qualify for the Champions League. Roma, Milan, and Napoli are in the Europa League. And in the end, it's Brescia and Spal, which we knew were already being relegated. And today was determined that Lecce would be that third and final team. Genoa were able to hold off Lecce and stay up in Serie A. We know that Benevento and Crotone, they're coming up to Serie A next season. So we'll have Pippo Inzaghi coaching Benevento next season and Simone Inzaghi coaching Lazio. So those two Inzaghi brothers will be coaching against each other in Serie A, which will be a fun storyline to follow. The third team that will come up from Serie B, that'll be determined through the promotion playoff. So for this season finale recap podcast episode, I wanted to hand out a few awards. And the first award I wanted to hand out was the award for the best newcomer. So who was the best player that was new to Serie A this season that really stood out to me? And as all these choices were, I'm going to ultimately go with Romelu Lukaku for Inter. He made the big money move from Manchester United. There was a lot of pressure on Lukaku to come and deliver. He was replacing, of course, Matteo Icardi, who went to join PSG. And Icardi's time that he spent at Inter, he was one of the most prolific goal scorers in Serie A. So Lukaku had big shoes to fill, like I said, and he did not disappoint one bit. He kind of hit the ground running from day one. He embraced the Inter culture. He embraced the Italian culture. He embraced this league and really adapted well to it. Had a much better season, I think, than even I was expecting. He had one of the most prolific goal-scoring seasons for a first-time player in this league. He ended up finishing the season with 23 goals. He formed a great relationship with Lautaro Martinez. So no way that any Inter fan could be disappointed with the debut season for Lukaku in Serie A. And that's why I have him winning the award for best newcomer in Serie A. An honorable mention certainly is Atalanta's Malinowski. He had a tremendous season. He was a super sub along with Luis Muriel for Atalanta, and a big reason why that club finished in third place. But Lukaku gets my award for best newcomer. Next award I wanted to give out was the Bounce Back Player of the Year. This award I decided to give to Domenico Berardi of Sassuolo. Here's a player who's had a roller coaster of a career so far. You think about his first two seasons in Serie A, he scored 16 goals in his debut season and then 15 in his second season. So at this point, you know, two seasons in, he's got 31 goals in Serie A. All the big clubs wanted him, and it seemed like almost it was predetermined that he was going to be joining Juventus. He ends up spending a few more seasons at Sassuolo, and the past four seasons were really rough for him. Injuries certainly contributed to that. But over those past four seasons, after those two great seasons to start off his career in Serie A, he scored a combined 24 goals. So there was a big drop-off. He was only averaging 6 goals a season. And based on that, you know, heading into the season, who knew what kind of version of Domenico Berardi you were going to get? Were you going to get the version of him from his first two seasons in the league or the last four? And I don't think, I didn't think he was going to be a bust and no good, but he certainly needed to bounce back and deliver this season, and he did. He had a great season for Sassuolo, scoring 14 goals. He also had 10 assists, so he had a double-double, if you will, if you're an NBA fan. He and Francesco Caputo formed a great duo for the Neroverdi. We saw certainly the version of Domenico Berardi from those first two seasons that we got accustomed to him in Serie A, and he's a big reason why Sassuolo were able to close out this season in eighth place. They kind of had a few sputters down their stretch, losing three of their last four, but overall, they had a pretty good season, and Berardi was no doubt one of the key reasons why. Next award I want to give out, the Breakout Performer of the Year, and I decided to give this award to another Inter player, and it's going to go to Lautaro Martinez. The Argentine, along with Lukaku, as I mentioned before, he really helped to carry this Inter attack this season. You know, just how good of a season did Martinez have? It was certainly good enough to catch the eye of Barcelona. And it's been reported that they've made some legitimate attempts to acquire him, some significant offers. He's only 22 years old. The sky's the limit for this kid. Lautaro Martinez finished the season with 16 goals. He also scored 5 more in the Champions League. Which was all in the group stage, obviously, because Inter didn't get out of the Champions League group stage. So he had a great performance there where, you know, the lights shine the brightest. I'm not sure that anyone could have predicted this type of season from Lautaro Martinez, considering what he had done in the past. But he's very deserving of the Breakout Performer of the Year. You could have thrown out Kulusevski from Parma, who had a great season. And obviously, he made the big money move to Juventus in January, but of course stayed at Parma on loan. Jeremy Boga of Sassuolo is another honorable mention. He went from literally an unknown player in Serie A with Sassuolo to one of the best young talents in Italy. Now he's being linked to a club like Napoli, so we'll see what happens with his future. But ultimately, I went with Lautaro Martinez for the Breakout Performer of the Year. Next award I wanted to give out was for the record-breaking performance. Ciro Immobile didn't end up breaking the single-season scoring record. He ended up tying Higuain's record. Ultimately, I'm going to go with Gianluigi Buffon for the record-breaking performance. For those of you that perhaps forgot, he broke Paolo Maldini's record for the most appearances in Serie A. Maldini, coming into this season, held the record with 647 appearances. Gianluigi Buffon passed him and currently sits at 649. So that's the new current record for Serie A, a record that I think is going to be really tough to beat. There's not enough superlatives that we could use to describe Buffon. I could wax poetic about him for an entire podcast. He's an absolute legend. He's the GOAT at what he does. He's one of my favorite players. Obviously, he won the World Cup. He's won more Scudetti than people could imagine and dream of. He's won titles in France with PSG the one season he spent there. The only title we know that eludes the legend himself is the Champions League trophy. Perhaps this season, this month, he could lift that trophy. It would be a nice way to, even though he's coming back for another season, but it would be a great way for him to eventually ride off into the sunset, having won just about every major trophy there is to win. So my record-breaking performance of the year goes to Gianluigi Buffon for becoming the all-time Serie A appearance leader and passing Paolo Maldini's record. Next award is an award that no one wants. It's the award for the most disappointing team of the year. And for sure, no one wants to win this award, but someone has to. And ultimately, the most disappointing team for me this season was Torino. I was really, and I mean really, high on them coming into this season. I think I predicted them to finish fifth and challenge for that top five. I had them finishing fifth. I felt that they would qualify for the Europa League, but boy, was I totally wrong on this one. You know, you think back to last season under Walter Mazzarri, who ended up getting fired early on this season. They were such a tough team. They were so organized. They were so strong defensively. But he, as I said, Walter Mazzarri ended up getting fired this season for their poor start to the year. And things never got better for Torino. Last season, they finished in seventh place. They had 63 points. So I really felt, like I said, coming into this year that they would challenge for a top five spot. They ended up finishing in 16th place and only accumulating 40 points. They had a 23-point drop-off. That's pretty bad. So, yeah, their dreadful and disappointing season is the reason why I picked them for the most disappointing team of the year. Next award is the Coach of the Year. Now, this was a tough one. I went back and forth with it a lot. Of course, you could have picked Maurizio Sarri, who deservingly so could win this award, given that he won the Scudetto with Juventus. I obviously thought about going with Gianpiero Gasperini for the job he did with Atalanta again, and I think he would probably be the popular choice from the people. But and I really did want to choose Gasperini, but I ultimately ended up going with Simone Inzaghi and for the job he did with Lazio. You look at Atalanta, they did improve this season by 9 points, and they had a great season. I think a lot of people expected them to step back this season, especially given the group stage games of the Champions League. But Lazio ultimately improved by 19 points. That was the biggest point improvement from any Serie A team from last season to this season. So you got to give a lot of credit to Simone Inzaghi for that. Lazio challenged for a Scudetto this season, right before the pandemic shut down the league and put it on a pause. It looked like Lazio were almost like a boulder rolling down a hill that couldn't be stopped, and that they were going to maybe pass Juve and take over that Scudetto lead. But ever since kind of the restart came back, the league came back, Lazio weren't able to really get back on track, and they ended up falling short, but they did qualify for the Champions League for the first time, the group stage of the Champions League, for the first time since the 2007-2008 season. So it's been over a decade since they've been in the Champions League group stage. So that's a nice check for Inzaghi. The 19-point improvement from last season to this season, it's a big reason why I'm going with Simone Inzaghi over Gianpiero Gasperini. I would love to hear your thoughts. Again, you could hit me up on Twitter, at Italiano Calcio, who you think should be Coach of the Year. But I made the tough decision in going with Inzaghi because of that point improvement and the fact that they qualified for the Champions League for the first time in over a decade. Second-to-last award I wanted to give out was the Player of the Year. And my Player of the Year ultimately is Ciro Immobile. I mean, how could you not go with the Neapolitan striker? He led the league in scoring for the third time in his career. He tied the single-season scoring record held by Gonzalo Higuain at 36 goals. So Immobile, for me, is my clear choice. He scored nearly half of Lazio's goals this season. No other player on the team hit double figures than him. Immobile was a player that Inzaghi could count on, game in and game out. He scored against some of the top teams in Italy. It didn't matter who they were playing. Juve, he scored against. He scored against Napoli at one point. He scored against Inter. He scored against Atalanta. He had 9 multi-goal games, including 2 games in which he scored a hat-trick. He also helped set up his teammates. He had 9 assists. So he had a really good season. Again, 36 goals, 9 assists. He won the European Golden Shoe, which obviously means he was the leading goal scorer across Europe's top leagues. He finished 5 better than Cristiano Ronaldo. There certainly were some other players. As I mentioned, Cristiano Ronaldo definitely deserving perhaps of consideration for this award. Papu Gomez, Duvan Zapata, even Francesco Caputo for Sassuolo had a great season. But ultimately, none of them stood out to me the way that Ciro Immobile did, tying the single-season scoring record with 36. Those 9 assists can't be overlooked either. He was such a reliable piece, like I said, for Inzaghi in that Lazio lineup, game in and game out. So he is my player of the year. Now the final award that I wanted to give out is the team of the year. And the team of the year is going to go to Atalanta. So again, I kind of touched upon this a little bit. Who had Atalanta remaining this competitive this season after their surprising performance from last year? Not many. And ironically enough, not only did they live up to those expectations from last season, they improved. They had a 9-point improvement in Serie A. They are still in the Champions League knockout round. They have that big game against PSG coming up in just about a week. They added players like Muriel, Malinowski coming off the bench. They provided a spark. They gave depth to this team, which they needed. Atalanta were the best scoring team in Italy. They scored 98 goals. Unfortunately, they fell just short of that century mark. I mean, how many teams score that many goals and not end up winning the Scudetto? They were right there till the end in that race. Atalanta had, as I mentioned, to juggle those extra Champions League game, and that was no problem for them. Their depth really came up great. Gasperini did a really good job with this roster. They ended up finishing in third place for the second straight year, which ties their best finish in Serie A club history. I'm really interested to see if they're able to attract some players this offseason, given that, you know, they've now proven to be competitive 2 seasons in a row. They've qualified for the Champions League again. They're still in this year's Champions League, so who knows? They don't really have a lot of big-name superstars, and if you don't really follow Serie A too much, then you might not be too familiar with this team, but you should get accustomed to them. Those of us who love Serie A, like myself, we obviously know how special Duvan Zapata is. We know how special Papu Gomez is. We know how special Iličić is. I mean, they have so many key players on that team. And for those who haven't been fortunate enough to watch Atalanta play this season, I personally feel that they were the most not only entertaining team in Italy, but in Europe, in my opinion. Again, I'm a little biased towards the Italian teams, but they really were such an entertaining and fun team to watch. And if you haven't had the opportunity to see a lot of them this season, hopefully you will watch them play against PSG in just a few weeks in the Champions League, because that is certainly a must-watch game and a game that a lot of people are picking Atalanta to pull the upset in. So I wanted to move on to Buy or Sell It to cover some of the big storylines and rumors that have been being mentioned in the Italian media and the world of football. So here is a very early season, preseason pick for next season. Buy or sell it, Juventus will win the Scudetto again next season. I'm going to sell this one. Obviously, again, this is a very early prediction. We have to see what happens with the remainder of the transfer market, what some of these teams are able to do. Certainly the news I talked about at the beginning with Conte perhaps being out at Inter, who knows, determines a lot. But if Conte is still there, I expect Inter to take a big step forward next season. I think Napoli will be way more competitive this season, this upcoming season throughout, like we saw under Gattuso. I think Milan will be a better team next year. Roma could be more competitive. I'm not betting against Atalanta to fall off like I did last heading into this previous season. So I think it'll be a much more competitive a much more competitive Serie A towards the top of the table. Ultimately, I'm going to say Juventus end their run at 9 consecutive Scudetti. They don't get to that 10th. Next one, buy or sell it. The grudges that Aurelio De Laurentiis holds against certain players and coaches. Do I buy it or sell it? I'm going to buy it. And let me explain this one a bit. So De Laurentiis was asked before the season finale, which was obviously played yesterday, Saturday, because again, I'm recording this podcast on Sunday, if he would be happy or would he like to see Immobile break the single season scoring record. And De Laurentiis said he would be happy to see Immobile score because he's a Neapolitan, he's this world-class player. But now think about what De Laurentiis is saying by saying that he would be happy if Immobile broke the record. That would have meant that Immobile needed to score at least 2 goals to break Higuain's record, which means De Laurentiis was happy in accepting the fact that Immobile scores 2 goals against his team, which could mean that his team loses the season finale. Sure, Napoli weren't playing for anything, but he said he would be happy to see Immobile break the record, again, meaning he would score at least 2 goals. Translation, De Laurentiis Just wanted to see Higuain lose his single-season scoring record, even though Higuain set that record while playing for Napoli. But because Higuain left Napoli to join Juventus, a rival, when he felt Napoli were starting to close the gap on Juve, De Laurentiis has no kind thoughts to say about Higuain. He has nothing but ill feelings towards him. De Laurentiis holds grudges like it's no one's business. And, you know, to let you in on a little personal side note, I myself could be a bit vindictive at times. And if I feel like I'm slighted, sometimes I'll look to, you know, seek some revenge and whatnot. So how can I not appreciate De Laurentiis and the grudges he holds, especially this one against Higuain? All right, final bite or sell it. Bite or sell it, Jose Callejon has played his final Serie A game. Sadly, I'm going to buy this one. It certainly seems like Callejon is set to leave Napoli and return home to Spain. And from all the reports, it seems like Valencia are the favorites to sign him. Callejon, of course, still has at least one more game with Napoli, which will be that Champions League game on Saturday, less than a week away from, again, when I'm recording this podcast against Barcelona. And, you know, I got to be honest, when Napoli first signed Callejon from Real Madrid back in the summer of 2013, I really wasn't excited about this move. I didn't expect him to pan out and really be an impact player for Napoli. But boy, was I wrong about this one, and it's something I was happy to be wrong about. Callejon had such a superb career with Napoli and in Serie A. He ended up scoring 64 goals in Serie A, 82 overall for Napoli. He was a part of that fun Napoli trident to watch over the past few seasons with Insigne and Mertens. Mertens has been pushing Callejon to stay at Napoli and re-sign with them, but it doesn't appear likely. Callejon, it appears, again, wants to return home to Spain. You can never really blame a player for wanting to return home. Callejon made a great impression on the Napoli fans. He will always be remembered and remain a fan favorite. I think anytime he returns to Naples, he will be received with warm welcomings and whatnot. But perhaps, you know, Callejon could still provide the Napoli fans with a few great moments in the Champions League. So his Napoli career is not over just yet, but it certainly does appear that his career in Serie A is over. So that will do it for the second episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. We will have another podcast out a little later this week to preview the Champions League action, so be on the lookout for that. Once again, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, and Stitcher. Leaving ratings and comments are greatly appreciated to help me grow this podcast and my content. Also, please subscribe to the Calcio Corner newsletter on Substack. I tweet about it at Italiano Calcio. It is currently free to subscribe. I put out a nightly recap from the Calcio world, so you know that's a fun thing to be on the lookout every night. But again, thank you for joining me. Greatly appreciated for listens, likes, comments, and ratings. Until next time, guys. Ciao.